Good afternoon. On behalf of the Tom C. family, we welcome you as we consider the life of Tom, a life of service, a wonderful example of Christianity at its best. You come well, and thankful for his faith and his example to me personally. We're going to use the red hymnal this afternoon. If you would find that red hymnal in front of you and turn it to 120. 120. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not cross the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Where darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale,
my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
I dare say we've all heard the old story. I heard an old story, how Savior came from the Lord. And in that wonderful story we find peace. We find the blessed assurance. An assurance that I know Tom said. 229.
Lo and behold, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His glory, Father's precious blood.
Supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of the grave gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now, in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Let's bow in prayer. Our God, Jehovah, how precious in your sight and ours is the death of your saints. We're happy for our dear brother Tom, that he is finally free from all the limitations of time and space and all the many maladies to which his flesh was heir. And from what we've read in your word and observed in his life, he qualifies for the rest that remains for your people. What a joy it is to know, Father, that your Son, Jesus Christ, has taken this confusing riddle of life and forged for us a clear conception of the purpose of our existence, bringing life and immortality to light through the gospel. We thank you for Jesus, our great high priest, who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, who became the author of eternal salvation to all who obeyed him, who went to the tomb of Lazarus and wept, and then raised him up from the dead. We know that our Lord is touched in our times of separation and reminiscence. We can't completely call what we're feeling today sorrow, although we do sorrow, we do grieve. But we're not only sad because he's left home, we're glad because he got to go home. So we sorrow, but we sorrow not as others which have no hope. And yet, as we commemorate Tom's influence on our lives, our emotions do gush forth. That's the way you made us, and you know our frame. Father, we ask that you bless our memorializing of Tom's exemplary life. May it stimulate and spur us to mirror in our lives his Christian character, following him as he followed Christ.
Thank you, God, for giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
A life sometimes filled with burdens, challenges. Who among us hasn't experienced that? Been influenced by it. One of Tom's favorite songs, I'm told, is 610 in the blue hymnal. There's a blue hymnal in front of you. Go to the back. 610. In the arms of sweet deliverance, going to lay my heavy burden down. It's a quick song. I hope we don't struggle over the music too much, such that we can't enjoy the words, because the words is what we're after here. And with my Lord I'll abide. Think about that. Think about that. Think about the things that we long to know, we long to understand, Tom knows and understands. In the arms of sweet deliverance. 610. Holy soul, in the arms of sweet deliverance, gonna lay my heavy burden down, and with my Lord I'll abide. When at last my travel days are in a land somewhere beyond the sun, in the arms of sweet deliverance, in the arms of sweet deliverance, I shall rest my mind. Of troubles I've had much more than enough. Many the day my path is rough, many the days I wonder what to do. But then I talk to my God in prayer, and He assures me that He's right there, and whatsoever may come, He'll see me through. In the arms of sweet deliverance, gonna lay my heavy burden down, and with my Lord I'll abide. When at last my travel is done, in a land somewhere beyond the sun, in the arms of sweet deliverance, in the arms of sweet deliverance, I shall rest by and by. I've read in the book how the Lord once said, the rain will fall on the good and the bad, but wise is the man who waits upon the Lord. When trials and sorrows multiply, I will not ask him the reason why, for strength is mine. In the arms of sweet deliverance, gonna lay my heavy burden down, and with my Lord I'll abide. When at last my traveling days are done, in a land somewhere beyond the sun, in the arms of sweet deliverance, in the arms of sweet deliverance, I shall rest by and by.
We've already had more than a good glimpse into the life of Tom C. today by seeing the pictures that have been projected on the screen behind me. Denny Lancaster arranged that and did a marvelous job of displaying this man's life photographically. Tom C. was born in Peru, Indiana on December 6, 1951. He had an older brother, Richard, a younger sister, Amber, and a younger brother, David. Tom grew up in Crawfordsville, Indiana, not far from Indianapolis. In 1970, he joined the Marine Corps. In 1972, he married Rebecca Deaver. They had two boys, Michael and Anthony, and they divorced after 2 years. Tom met Cheryl Lancaster in June of 1976 on a guard mail run. For their first date, Tom took her fishing to a flea market, and for dinner to a bowling banquet where he received an award. They talked about their lives, and they learned that they both grew up in Church of Christ homes. They both had fathers who worked in construction. And as kids, they both had dachshunds for pets. Did I say dachshund?
Dachshund.
Okay. When Denny was 10 years old, he told me it was dachshund. So that's where that memory came from. Sorry. Dachshund. Dachshund's easier than dachshund. But I remember that dog very well. Cute dog. On December 11th, 1976, Tom and Sherry were married in the Oceanside Church of Christ. 2 months after they were married, Tom received custody of his oldest son, Michael. Tom attended recruiter school, and 9 months after they were married, the family moved to Omaha, Nebraska. It was in Omaha that they met Denny and Debbie Zarp, who became close personal friends of theirs over 40 years. One time they tested their friendship by touring the Northeast United States together for 2 weeks in 2012, and they found their ties were even stronger. In 1980, Tom and Cheryl moved to the Kansas City area and attended here at the Gregory Boulevard Church of Christ. Tom got custody of his second son, Anthony. A year later, they surprised Sherry's parents, Daryl and Bernice Lancaster, with a Christmas note announcing the birth of a baby in August. But only 2 months after Jonathan was born, Daryl had to grudgingly put him in a car seat to facilitate their move to Cherry Point, North Carolina. Cheryl went to school in Maryland during this time, and she phoned Tom that she had passed a test. He wanted to know what the test was. And she said, well, the baby is due in October. It wasn't until April Fool's Day that Tom found out they were having twins. He thought it was a joke at first because of the day, but no joke. 4 years at Cherry Point led to 3 years in Okinawa, Japan, where Tom served under four consecutive generals and held the combination for the top secret safe for the 3rd Marine Division stationed at Okinawa. A lot of responsibility there. In 1990, Tom and his family moved to 29 Palms, California. Here they had come from a lush Japanese island to an American desert. And 1 month after arriving at that desert, Tom's office was shipped off to Saudi Arabia for Desert Storm. 8 months in that desert gave Tom lots of stories to tell, and also a Navy Achievement Award medal for his exemplary service. Tom retired from the Marine Corps in 1992, and Cheryl got out so that they could build a life here together in Kansas City. Wherever Tom went, he forged new friendships. And when they came back here, he forged new friendships with the members here at the Gregory Boulevard Church. He teased and bantered with Donna Walker, who later encouraged him to learn how to lead songs. And at her encouragement, Tom did learn how to lead songs and do a good job with that. Tom went fishing with Dan Green, David Landis, Paul Walker, and Ed Stevens on numerous occasions. Barbara Norman he called Mom, so naturally Bill became Dad. Barbara and Tom went Depression glass shopping together. Tom worked at Lee Summit West High School for 11 years, and while he was there, he made friends with teachers, custodians, and students. Dave Kagerice became a fishing buddy who sat around the kitchen table many times. John Sprague bought Tom's house in River Oaks and put down roots in the Kansas City area. When the twins turned 17, Tom opened his house to a foreign exchange student by the name of Martin Shearbaum. Many of you know him. Tom and Martin formed a special bond, and later in life, after Martin's own father passed, he called Tom his American dad. He honored Tom by taking him to a Chicago White Sox game at Wrigley Field, stating on Facebook that, quote, "My father would have loved this, but my American dad loved it too," end quote. It was during their time in Kansas City that Tom went from being just a dad to being a grandpa. Many family trips were taken with Jacob and Noah, including several trips to Dallas, Texas, Philadelphia, and most recently a trip to Mobile, Alabama and Savannah, Georgia, so the boys could see a beach on the ocean. Tom C. served God and his fellow man. He did it with all the abilities that God gave him. He could easily lead 3 songs on a Sunday afternoon on very short notice. He would publicly read scripture when he was asked to do that. But Tom always felt like his real gift lay in the cooking area. He felt like that was his best service that he could render. And a lot of people in this room and out of this room loved his deviled eggs, his fried fish, his red velvet cake. Personally, I was partial to his ham and beans. He could make anything and make you love it. He loved to cook, and he was really good at it. Tom was a good Marine, a good father, a good husband, and just a good worker. He loved animals, which I think says something about a man. He was a loyal friend who was there when he was needed. Ed and Cindy Stevens became very close when they dared to move within 4 minutes of the sea home. Tom checked their house when they were away. He made himself available when projects were being done, or when snowstorms hit, or if you just needed a friend to cheer the Chiefs on when you were watching a delayed recording in the home. Tom loved playing cards, especially when Cindy's mother joined at the table. The term church family to Tom meant family types relationships in church. Tom made friends easily, and he kept making them everywhere he went for years. I don't know how many people Sherry called when Tom died, but it was a lot of people, because Tom's friends were friends for life. Sherry, I like the way she put it. She said, Tom wasn't perfect, but our yin and yang fit. I wish I'd have thought of that line. That's a good way to put it. Our yin and yang fit. He raised 5 children, 6 if you count Martin. He served God and was faithful. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Adam had a statement that he made, and I think sort of made it on behalf of his siblings. Here's what Adam had to say. When it came to family life, Dad cared very much for all his children. He was a generous man who gave us whatever we wanted. He would always take us on family trips when we were young to fun and interesting places. And no matter what trouble we had gotten into, or what trials we faced, he was always there to help us along the way. He always seemed ready to give the best of himself. And this attitude extended well beyond his immediate family. It went to his extended family on both sides, to his best friends, to his friends in the congregation, and to his friends all across the world. Tom cared deeply for all the people that were a part of his life. So much so that a young German man, Martin Schierbaum, and his family became an extension of our own family. And Adam concluded by saying, Dad is an irreplaceable part of our family, and even though he's gone, he will certainly never be forgotten. He will always live in our hearts. Thank you for that, Adam. I appreciate that expression, and I just think you and your siblings were very, very blessed to have somebody who makes saying goodbye so hard. Sherry is a very people person, and she would like to hear from several other people at this time. First of all, Dave Kagerice.
I'd like to open in prayer first. Gracious Heavenly Father, please be mine. Mouth to speak, Lord God, be my mind. Think straight, Lord. And I pray that you would heal the C family, Lord, and heal the hearts of them. And thank you for the time that I had with Tom C. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord has a wonderful way of healing our hearts. My dad had passed away. It's been about 8 years ago. I was working at a different school. And then I transferred and met Tom C. right away. And first time I met Tom, he chewed me out for parking in the fire zone. So the next day I said, did I park in the right place for you, sir? And right after that we hit it off. We became really good friends. Tom reminded me a lot of my dad. And I was still grieving the loss of my dad approximately 8 months before I met Tom. Man, we became really good buddies. See, I had more fun with him working with him than I did anybody else in my life. He was just fun to be around. I liked to hang out with your dad, and he was a great guy. Really good guy. But most importantly, I know that he had a relationship with God and with and through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the peaceful part of it. Our hearts will heal, and that's my prayer for the C family, to heal your hearts. But this is one thing I want to close with. If you don't have a relationship with God and with Him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, get right with Him. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. John Sprague.
I don't know if my words can match such eloquence, but Tom was a very special person to me. So I'll just read what I wrote. Good afternoon and praise God. For those who do not know me, my name is John Sprague, and I am truly honored to be allowed to speak at Tom's celebration of life. Tom C. is, not was, is my best buddy. In the Marines, there are three types of people. Acquaintances, who you interact with on a semi-regular basis. Friends, who you know and stay in touch with from duty station to duty station. And the third kind, if you're real lucky, there are buddies. The ones you bleed with, the ones you live, love, and share with, and the ones who guard the gates awaiting your arrival. To Tom's love, Sherry, my word is my bond, that I will always attempt to repay your kindness, love, and compassion you have always shown me. To Tom's children, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm sorry, I don't see Anthony. 5. To Tom's children, live his example of taking care of the little things so the big things can take care of themselves. And love your mother. To Tom's church family, thank you for the years of your Christian love and fellowship. You helped prepare Tom for his eternal rest. Finally, for friends old and new, remember the time shared, the meals prepared, the generosity of Tom's giving, but mostly his genuine love. And for me, selfish as I am, I ask only that you listen. In my world of words, which is filled with profound poetic lines, I'm not certain that words even exist to convey exactly how I feel. Few of you here gathered know how brotherly Tom and I were for the past 40 years. We lived that life of brotherly love unbeknownst to many who only know one facet of his character. Naturally, we were born from a fight which produced mutual respect and love and trust that never diminished through all these years. 100% trust. That was our credo. Whatever the other of us needed was unquestionably provided. I've never had another person in my life who so reciprocated that gift of love so willingly. Some of you know after receiving Tom's phone call just prior to Desert Storm, I left house, family, job, friends, all of it in upstate New York, to fly to California to play Mr. Belvedere. The power of attorney, the kids, the bills, the houses, the money, the all was waiting on me. So was my ticket waiting at the airport. Yes, we were that close that either of us could and did make decisions in advance prior to even asking the other. He was the best man at my wedding. We've traveled this country and the world so many times, so many trips. He managed my rental house in Carolina because I was transferred to Japan. So when he became stationary, I fully introduced him to the Japanese lifestyle. We did it all together. Tournaments of softball, pinochle, horseshoes, racquetball, and always as a team. I think our bucket list is enviable and full of tales to share with all. from Linden, Indiana to Screen Lake, New York, from St. George, Utah to Jacksonville, Florida, from Las Vegas, Nevada to Tupelo, Mississippi. You get the point. We were always together. We will always be together. And Tom, I promise to do the only two things we never shared. I'll go fishing and I'll go golfing. You just shine the light. In closing, Semper Fi, have the sausage and eggs waiting. I'll see you in Valhalla. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. That was beautiful and touching. Deeply appreciated. Ed Stevens.
I sure appreciate what's been said. Today is really a first for me. I have buried mother, father, grandfather, aunts, uncles, even a brother. First time I've lost a really good friend. And I appreciate what you said about him. There is found in the book of Proverbs that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Tom was that kind of person to me. Tom was very thoughtful of others. Many of us have received food when we were down and out. He would run errands for me and others. He would let his friends know about the really good deals. Price of ham, price of turkey. You want me to get a couple? Sure, Tom. He was good to share things. I especially loved it when Tom shared his homemade strawberry ice cream. And if you have not tasted that, that's one of the best things I've ever put in my mouth. Someone said, you are what you do, not what you say you'll do. Tom was a doer. If Tom said he would do something, he did it to the best of his ability. Except one of the last things he said he would do with Cindy and I and Sherry was to go to a new restaurant that he had found. And that was in the first part of December. And he told Sherry, well, I guess we won't make that date. James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Tom was certainly a doer of things he heard from God's word. And I know Tom loved the Lord Jesus, whom he did not see, because he loved the people he could see. There was no guile or deceit in Tom. And I never knew a man quite like Tom. John, you said he was a special man. He was one of a kind. He was very good at sports. Softball, racquetball, darts. I never beat him in a game of darts. I started playing golf with Tom and he would always shoot in the 80s. In all the hundreds of rounds of golf I played with Tom, I think I only beat him twice. But I tell you, he was challenged when it came to using a screwdriver. But boy, he would be right there to help you. It was in the week or so before his hospitalization that Tom bowled a 248. You imagine that? It took me 3 games to bowl 248. Tom was good at sports. In the last 10 or 15 years or so, Cindy and I spent a lot of time with Tom and Sherry, and sometimes Dale and Wiley. There's a picture on Cindy's makeup table of Tom and Sherry, Dale and Wiley, and me and Cindy. We were in Branson. But we played a lot of rounds of cards. Call your partner in pitch, and I had a lot of fun. I can't tell you how much food Tom and I ate together. We enjoyed eating together. Cindy told me that baking coconut cream pies at the church dinners was going to be quite a different experience. Because Tom would always get down there and hide a piece for himself. Or he would complain about her not baking one for just him. I spent a lot of times with Tom. Hours. He was a big part of the fabric of my life. Tom went to Brighton, Illinois a couple times with me to work on Drew and Angela's house. I mean, who does that? He went down to Fort Towson, Oklahoma two times to help me work on my brother's house. You know, who does that? And I could always count on Tom when I needed that third hand to help me when I needed help at my house. Another guy once said that the meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there is any reaction, both are transformed. Tom and I helped each other to become better men. And a big part of our lives was how our wives each transformed us. A few years ago, Tom called me up saying something like this. Hey, I was wondering if we could meet for lunch before we play golf today. Well, I'm in. So I said, okay. Then Tom said, I want to talk to you about something. I said, okay. So we met and we talked about a sermon you gave, Rick, on baptism. And what it was all about and the proper way of it. And Tom felt that he had not been baptized for the right reason. He told me that he had a lot of family pressure, you know, as a 16-year-old. And so to appease his family, he was baptized. And after Rick's sermon, he knew that was the wrong reason. So he asked me if I would immerse him in water. I remember that next, I believe it was a Sunday, Tom, after services were over, came up here and said a few words about his, why he was being baptized. And then Tom and I went back here. We went into the water. I let him down into the water and raised him up. And if Tom could have been any better, he was better after that. He had a good conscience with people he dealt with. He had a good conscience toward God. So I'm going to end with this. It's I was looking back at some of the text messages that Tom and I had on any given day. December 3rd at 7:52 in the morning. Me. Are you busy? Tom, no. Would you want to pick me up at Bob's site Ford in Lee Summit? I'll buy you breakfast. I had a truck that needed work and it was going to be there for a while. Tom, what time? Well, I'm here now. Okay, I'll be there in a little bit. Me, thank you. Me, text me when you're here and I'll come out. Okay, I'm getting ready to leave now. We'll go to the service entrance. Okay, then him, I'm here. So we had breakfast at the Egg and I, and blueberry pancakes and sausage. So he took me home, and he went home. Same day, at 11:31, less than 4 hours later. I've gotten horribly sick. The last hour. And I'm not going bowling. And probably won't be able to take you back to get your vehicle. Sorry. That's okay. Just get well. December 6th. I'm praying for you, brother. December 7th. Happy birthday, my brother. My prayers for your recovery. Wednesday, December 25th. Merry Christmas. He was showing signs of getting better. I know you're going to have a great new year. And sure enough, on January 1, 2020, Tom is in paradise. He went to paradise that day. Waiting for the resurrection. And if I die before the Lord comes, I know I see Him in paradise. And I know that if I am here, when the Lord comes, I will see Tom rise from the dead. And then I will be transformed, and we shall be like Him and live with Him forevermore. And I'm going to enjoy it because now I know so many wonderful people there. And heaven's just a little bit more appealing because of the people, lovely people, we will meet and reconnect with.
Thank you very much, Ed. That was beautiful and amazing. And I know it represents a big sacrifice on your part. Ed, this week, had surgery and cancer treatment, and probably, under other circumstances, shouldn't be out, but he wasn't going to miss this. Appreciate that very much. Dan Green.
I just had a story to share, but I'll start with, we grew up with Sherry, the Lancaster family, and the Green family grew up together, going camping and coming to church here. So I knew Sherry and Denny long before I knew Tom. Tom was a new implant to the congregation as we came here. And as I've noticed in the back, and as we've heard people talk, Tom was a complex person. In other words, he had lots of different interests, a lot of different people that he interacted with that we may not have known, all those people that he touched. And that's a unique personality. We also were a part of that game plane when we were in town. We're in Kirksville now. But we loved playing what was called 10-point... now I lost it. 10-point pitch. If we had enough, it would be call your partner, and it was just a good time. And Tom loved to win. He just loved, and when he was winning, he let you know he was winning. But it was always good. I mean, it wasn't puffy. It was just, yeah, he was excited about the idea of winning. But the best thing was, he was also a very good loser. If you could beat him, he was happy for you that you beat him. Well, we took a fishing trip. Ed and Paul and myself and Tom and one of the Woodies, Henry Woody. We went up to Canada to go fishing. I think Tom caught the most fish. But we were playing a game of 10-point pitch. Call your partner, because there was five of us. And it had gotten down to the end of the game where it was just pretty sure Tom was going to win. Now, if you don't know about 10-point pitch, the idea is there are 10 points in the deck, and your goal is to get whatever you bid. And you got the points. And if you hit 51, you're the winner. Well, Tom was real close. It was almost a shoe-in for this last hand. And he was letting us know that he had this game under control. And it was all his. Well, Ed is also quite a card in that area. And so Ed challenged him. No, that's not going to happen. He says, whatever's going on, I'm going to take you down. So Ed bid shoot the moon, which is 20 points instead of 10 points. It means you're going to take all the points. Nobody else is going to win anything. He says, and I'm going to take you with me. And Ed called the craziest card. It was something like the seven of spades. No count, no points. It's just a dumb call. And Tom had the seven of spades. And he went down 20 points. And somebody else won. But he, in that point, it was so fascinating that he appreciated that he had been got. And it was okay. And I think that's great for all of us to know. There are times in life we're going to be got. But it's going to be okay. So look forward to those times of sharing the joy of other people. And Tom was really good at sharing the joy.
Thank you, Dan. That's a terrific story. You guys are kind of making me wish we'd had this before Tom died. He would have enjoyed being here.
He is.
I get you. I know that Sherry would be happy to hear from anybody else who would care to say something. Is there anyone else who would like to tell us a little bit about your experiences with Tom?
I'm not a talker, and I get real nervous, but I wrote it on his little thing here as you were talking. Tom was an excellent man. He was fun. He was happy. But he had a wonderful heart, but he had the personality of a 12-year-old when he would come over. We would go to movies, and Sherry would be down at the end sleeping, and Tom would be here, Denny would be here, and their talk was more exciting than watching the movie. He loved Depression Glass and his M&M collection. I would call Sherry, and I would say, does he have this one? And she'd say, oh, he doesn't need any more. No more. So then I would hang up, and I would call Tom, and I'd say, do you have this one? And he'd say, nope, keep it, but don't tell Sherry. Even though he had diabetes, which he was always checking his insulin, if I did not have a dessert ready when they came up, we'd either go out for dessert or he would deplenish Denny's popsicle supply. He was the cook in our foursome. He would come up and not let me cook because he was a better cook than me. He'd say, is that how you make your eggs? Is that how you make the bacon? Let me cook that, because he knew I would probably burn it or dry it out. We would go fishing. We lived out in the country, per se, and there was a little pond at the beginning of the entrance of the neighborhood. Sherry would sit and read her book. She loves books. Denny and Tom would fish and have their big cigar. And I was there to referee on whose fish was bigger. But we never brought them home because it was a catch and release, so I never got to taste his fish at my house. Talking about deviled, I'm sorry, I have to leave on a good note this evening. Tom and Denny were always at each other as to who made the best deviled eggs. I'm sorry, Denny did. He always was cooking in my kitchen, and I made red velvet cake. These are things that I heard you guys all say. I made red devil cake. But the next time they come up, he brought red devil cake because he definitely did not like mine. We went on a trip to Maine with Tom and Sherry. And because my husband didn't want Tom to drive, we sold two cars and bought a van. And then Denny slept all the way, and Tom drove. So those are just some things that made me think of fun times that we had. That's it. Oh, one more thing. When we found out about Tom's passing, Denny called her at 12 o'clock. And he was so upset. He was yelling at Sherry. And I said, "You can't do that." And he'd look at me and I'd say, "For one, it's 12 o'clock. And for two, she's grieving just as much, if not more, than you were." But he was so upset. He has not been able to sit since. He will be missed so much. But he'll always be in our hearts. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Debbie. That was Debbie Zart. Debbie Zart, close personal friend. Anyone else? Great. Oh, yes. Come on up.
I didn't know Tom like most people here. Only been neighbors with him a couple of years. Very unique man. He is the kind of person that brought anything and everything to my kids. And if he had anything extra, so my wife and I have been neighbors with him for a couple of years. We live right next to Sherry and Tom, and just one of the nicest men you'll ever meet, and a really great example of Christianity, is what he is. And an example to me on what charity means. And I learned a lot about charity through Tom in the past couple of years. But he is really the man who will go out of his way to make sure you have what you need if you need it. Last interaction I had with Tom, I was trying to air up my tires on the van. And I had an old air compressor that just wasn't cutting the mustard. And he stopped whatever he was doing, and he made sure that I had access to his air compressor. My dog, whom I find terrible, and I agree that it probably says about a lot about a man's character. He's probably got better character than I do. I find it atrocious. He loves my dog, right? Provided my dog with treats and just treated him a lot better than I do. My kids, you know, he candies or sweets or anything like that. He wanted to bring them over to my house and made sure that he provided those to them and any other little goodie or snack that he had picked up along the way. Like I said, I mean, I don't know him as well as a lot of people in this room. but I felt compelled to talk because I know he's watching, and I know he's a great example of Christianity and charity, and I just wanted to share my experience. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm glad you spoke up. Yes, Denny.
I can't walk.
Okay. Well, I don't have a mic to bring to you, but just speak out.
I don't want to get through this. I've known him for 22 years. And he was always there for everything I needed. And there were times we played golf. There were so many times there were things when the man said to me, when he put him in the water, I can get it out when that happened. I just see the difference. But when we played golf, he tried to beat me so bad that I didn't. And Bill, I started to crumble. All this stuff is wrong. And when he did, he did, you know, jab me. But I remember it well. And everything everybody has said, I've seen happen, and especially you. I know you. But he was always there for me.
Thank you, Denny. Randy?
Go back to the red hymnal. Certainly appreciate all those thoughts. I like your thinking on eternity, Ed. There'll be a lot of folks there that we're looking forward to visiting with. And that leads us to the thought of this song that was picked out by the family, "This World Is Not My Home." As good a times as there are here, there's glory waiting. Won't compare. It won't compare. "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." 361. Oh, beef home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. My saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
On behalf of Tom's family, I'd like to thank each one of you very deeply for coming this afternoon and being with us. Tom lived his life from a biblical point of view. And what he experienced during the last month or so of his life was the end of a varied experience on this earth. The apostle said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And again, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, doth work in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Tom was experiencing this during his last weeks on this earth.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Jesus is pure. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Tom is just a little bit ahead of you and me. For him, death is past. For us, it remains. There have been good and true words spoken here today about being in Christ, how we get into Christ, how we remain living in Christ. It's to be hoped that we can each take this to heart and be better when we leave here than we were when we came. There is a sense that's real in which Tom doesn't need you anymore. He's moved on to a different stage of life. But I believe he's looking forward to seeing us again. He understands that death is gain. It perfects our faith by sight, and it lets us behold the one in whom we have believed. Death is gain because Jesus Christ conquered death for himself and for those who trust him. And when grain is ripe for the harvesting, it should be reaped. God is gathering the wheat into his garner, grain by grain. No wonder the apostle said, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Let's bow in prayer one more time. God, you are the governor of heaven and earth. You are the most merciful ones, and in your hands are life and death. You give and you take away. You cast down and you raise up. And we thank you for looking with mercy upon us, your unworthy servants, today. Father, speak peace to the souls of this family. Assist them and comfort them. Help them to continue to remember with thanksgiving all of the blessings enjoyed in the company of this dear departed brother, grandfather, and father, and husband. Release us from our sorrow, fill us with just hopes, true faith, and holy consolations, and enable us each to do our duty wherever you are pleased to place us in life. Help us to meditate on Tom's good example, and emulate in our lives the things in his life that were acceptable in your sight, so that in all of our thoughts and words and actions, we may glorify your holy name and finally obtain, with Tom, everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to pause to sing one more song together, and when that song is concluded, our service will be concluded and you will be released. Randy?
Go back to the blue hymnal.
Life is full of uncertainties, isn't it? I was probably surprised when you got the call. Tom's life always pointed to a place of safety, a place of blessed assurance. Some would see this life as a storm, waves breaking at the ship, challenging our existence and the things that we think, the way that we live. Yet there's a place of safety. There's a place that we can hide. Number 125 speaks of a storm passing by. This was chosen by the family. I think speaks well to our course. A place that Tom found comfort and a place for us to hide. Until faith becomes sight. 125. Obito, in the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the
wonder, precious Lord, hereby cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in the land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by.